Hare Krishna. It's nice to see all of you again and see some of you for the first time. Thank you for letting me give class. It's such an honor to be able to speak about such an exalted Vaishnava as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I wanted to tell a story that will give you some insight into how Srila Prabhupada saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So most of you know Guru Das. He was amongst the group of first devotees who came to the UK. And he was very fond of the books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books they're a bit unique amongst Vaishnava writers. Some of them are very practical, like Harinam Chintamani. Some of them go from the basics to the most esoteric philosophy, like Jiva Dharma. Some even go deeper, and everything in between, and songs which are very basic for the general public, and songs that go very deep into rasa. So he actually liked the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur better than he liked Prabhupada's books. But he couldn't say that to Prabhupada. Or he didn't feel he could say that. So they were on a walk, and Gurudas said to Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my second favorite author. And Prabhupada said, your second favorite? Your second favorite? If I were one particle of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then I would consider my life a success. So that's how Prabhupada saw the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that if he could be an ounce of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, he would consider that a great blessing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had three kind of nicknames. The eighth Goswami, the Prahlad, because he was born in a family that was not really favorable and some part of the family was antagonistic. Prahlad, the eighth Goswami, and one more. Who remembers it? I can't remember the other one. The eighth Goswami, the Prahlad. Sleep deprivation. Yeah, that's it. My memory's better. Maybe it'll come to me. So, the eighth Goswami, because one of the services of the Goswamis was to write books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 100 books. And Prabhupada once said, he said, I am like the Goswamis. They lived under a different tree every night, and I live in a different palace every night. And they wrote books, and I wrote books. So if you read the history of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did move around a lot. I was listening to a lecture yesterday by Srila Prabhupada, and he made a really important point. He was describing the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Most of us know he had, I believe, 10 or more children. Some people say 13. Some say 10. You can look at that photo and count. Anyway, 10's a lot. 1's a lot. What to speak of 10? So, and he had a full-time job. Can you relate? 2 kids is enough and a full-time job. That'll like kind of ruin your Krishna consciousness in terms of time. It doesn't have to, but it does infiltrate your time for sadhana. Anyone have that experience? No one's raising their hand. That means that you all have that experience, right? Well, unless you're a brahmachari. So, even sometimes brahmacharis get busy, yeah. And so, Prabhupada made this point. It is a really important point. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a full-time job and a big family, and while doing that, he wrote 100 books. He managed to find the time to preach. So basically, Prabhupada was saying, you can take your excuses, put them in the dustbin. Think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So you know, on these days, we want to get inspiration from these acharyas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was playing the role for part of his life as a conditioned soul, playing the role of a grihastha. So it's very relatable, because most of us were not, or at least many of us, were not born as devotees. Many of us are married. So there are parallels. Many of us work. And have any of you written a book? Because if you do, you have no time for anything else. It is like Hare Krishna. It's like it absorbs all your time. That's what most people who write books, that's all they do. They just write, books, or they go off in a cave and write the book and come out when it's done. And he's working full time and he's writing 100 books. Hare Krishna. How was he doing it? Prabhupada said his schedule was he'd come home in the evening, take prasad, take a little rest, get up and write all night. Till about 4, and take a nap till 4:30, and then japa, and then like another nap or something like 6:30, and then a little more writing, meet guests, take breakfast, and go out to work. Hare Krishna. So hopefully that will be one inspiration we can get today, that if you ever chant the mantra, I just don't have enough time. You can think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can pray to him for his mercy. And maybe time will appear somehow or other. I have a theory about time. This is the new theory. You can put Einstein's theory to rest. This is the new one. This theory was learned by many of us who attended japa retreats because sometimes it's difficult to find time. And some people have difficulty chanting their rounds because they can't find time, right? So all of us had this amazing experience at the japa retreat that when japa became a priority, somehow or other, time appeared. Da-da-da-da. I am time. I have come for you. You now have time to chant. And when japa was not a priority, time crashed on us. And time said, you have no time. You can do it later. And later came, and time said, you have no time. You can do it later. And later came. It was 11 o'clock at night. And time said, you're too tired to finish your rounds. You can do it tomorrow. And tomorrow came, and time said, but you can do it later. And can you relate? So we had this very vivid experience that when something became important, time manifested somehow or other. I don't know how it works, but it happens. Anyone who's chanted 16 rounds a day every day since they took initiation. I have to make an initiation lecture and a Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's okay, because time restraints. Anyone, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke extensively about nam-tattva, so it's appropriate, because we're supposed to speak about nam-tattva. But anyone who's taken a vow to chant 16 rounds and who has done it every day of their life, where they missed, they made it up, comes to a point in their life where they don't know how not to chant 16 rounds. They cannot figure out how to do that. Isn't it a fact? This one teacher, he was teaching a writing class, and so with writing, a lot of students want to know how you get inspiration to write. And the teacher was asked that question. He said, how do you get inspiration to write? And he had never thought about that. And he said, I don't know. I don't know how not to write. I'm always inspired. That would be like asking Kelly Kadamba, how do you get inspiration to write songs? He'll say, I don't know. I just wake up and write them. It's like that. It's become part of you. So when something becomes part of you, you just do it, and somehow or other, the time is there. So what's going on in the heart and mind of the acharya? What are they thinking? That backstory of what they're thinking helps us understand their schedule. So what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinking? I mean, if you just look at his preaching strategy, and of course you understand the heart of a Vaishnava, you understand he was thinking how to save, how to give Krishna consciousness to every soul in the universe. And interestingly, I was looking through Prabhupada's letters in one early letter, maybe 49, 53, 59, I can't remember. He revealed his mission. And Prabhupada said, my desire is to give every living entity Krishna consciousness. So that's the mindset. That's the foundation. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is his foundation. What is he doing when he finally reads Bhagavatam and sees there's a transformation? What does he do? He starts thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness, right? That's all he's thinking about. He's thinking about, the acharyas are always thinking about how to get it out of India, so he was thinking that. How to get it in every village, Namhata. Some ISKCON devotees went to a village and they said, do you want to establish a Namhata? And he said, we have one established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here's the building that he established it. So how many villages in India are like that? This is the thinking of the acharya. And so he wants to give Krishna consciousness to every living entity. So what does he do? He's constantly preaching. What did Prabhupada do? He was constantly preaching till the last breath. Why? Because he could not give everyone Krishna consciousness, right? I mean, there's no other explanation. Why would you be translating Bhagavatam like a day before you're leaving and you can hardly have energy to speak? Because you cannot not give Krishna consciousness. And when you cannot not give Krishna consciousness, it's hard to sleep. So Prabhupada wanted to give Krishna consciousness. What did he do? My dear Lord, please help me wake up so I can write these books. So 2 hours of sleep, two or three, and then get up. How many of you like to get up after 2 hours? You ever get up and have to go to the toilet? And what do you do after you go to the toilet? I'm awake! I can chant 32 rounds, 48 rounds. I could write books to save the conditioned souls. You know the story. Maybe you don't. You will know now. 1 a.m., Prabhupada wakes up his one sannyasi disciple. Yes, Prabhupada. What are you doing? Prabhupada, I'm sleeping. Why are you sleeping? Prabhupada, I'm tired. Why are you tired? Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee like you. Why you're not a pure devotee like me? Hare Krishna. Now you know why sometimes during the morning walk, some devotees were in the back. Because the front's where you get chastised. So this is the heart, the mind of a pure devotee. They're always thinking how to give others Krishna consciousness. So that's what he was thinking. And that's why he could do this. Because that desire was so strong. He found the time to give people Krishna consciousness, even though it's not convenient, it's not easy. You know, there's a letter, and Prabhupada had flown to Australia, maybe from Europe, or it was a long flight. And in the letter, Prabhupada said, I can't do this, it's too strenuous on my body, although he was doing it and never complaining. And he was maybe 78, 79, he said, I can't do this anymore. But he still did it. So that's the mood of the pure devotee. So we read this morning after Mangal Arti that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the pioneer of Krishna consciousness. What that meant is that if you study Gaudiya Vaishnava history, you see it tends to go up and down. There are periods that it goes up, like when Mahaprabhu comes. The Goswamis, but then it goes down, and then it has to be brought up. With other acharyas, bring it up, and then it goes down, and like Krishna says, it tends to get lost. So it was similar at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and lots of misunderstandings, upa sampradaya. And so he came into an environment in which bhakti was not taken seriously as a intellectual movement. And he had to establish the intellectual validity amongst the populace, especially, obviously amongst intellectuals, right? And so he did that. He revived the spreading of Krishna consciousness. It culminated in the birth of his son, Bimal Prasad, who became Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who continued. So as we know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was thinking the West, right? You have to go to the West, sent his disciples, told Prabhupada. That seed was in the mind and heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was communicating, I believe, with Thoreau and Emerson and others. He got his book, The Teachings of Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya. He got his book into the West in Montreal. So he was thinking that way. Planted the seed, Bhaktisiddhanta planted the seed in Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's coming is like they say, I am standing on the shoulders. Well, we wouldn't say that. We're bowing at, they say I'm standing on the shoulders of other giants. That's why I was successful. We would say I'm sitting at the feet, not standing on the shoulders. But you get the idea. It's not just Prabhupada, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's not just Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So therefore we're connected, right? Like we don't exist independent of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Although maybe we don't feel so closely connected, but we're very closely connected. It's the strategy, it's a plan. I want to explain another way that we're closely connected is that if you've ever been to a japa retreat, a japa workshop, the facilitators have relied heavily on the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because perhaps more than any acharya, he has elaborated on the nature of the holy name and specifically practically how to chant it. As we know, in ISKCON, sometimes we lack practical guidance. We have lots of philosophy, theory, but maybe not enough practical guidance. Harinam Chintamani is a very practical book, how to chant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very practical in explaining that, and we need that. And so those, myself, who facilitate japa workshops, I rely heavily on Harinam Chintamani, and two chapters of Jiva Dharma and Nama Tatra are just amazing insights into the holy name, amazing insights into what the 10 offenses are, amazing insights into the meaning of Shishastakam. All these things are extremely important. And of course, Prabhupada quotes, often quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his books. So, can I say something about Nam Tatva, since it's, you're getting the name today. Today's the name. Well, you're getting a name, and you're vowing to take the name without offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire for all of us is that we chant Shuddha Nam, Shuddha, pure. Because when you chant pure, then you get prema. At least you get a taste, which can lead to prema. So that's his desire. In that song, Radha Krishna Bol Bol, Bolo Re Sobha, you know that song? Chant Radha Krishna Bol Bol, oh brothers, chant the name. One verse it says, just once taste the nectar of the holy name. So he wants that. He wants us to taste that nectar. In one of his songs, he says, I'm drowning in an ocean of nectar when I chant Hare Krishna. He wants us to taste that. A man asked Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. And he asked the man, can you see Krishna? The man said, no. And then he turned to a disciple and he said, can you see Krishna? And she said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I can't, but I want to. And Prabhupada said, I want to show you Krishna. So this is the desire of the pure devotee. They want to show you Krishna. They want to give you a taste. This is Bhaktivinoda's desire. And if they desire it, all you have to do is put your hands out, pray, and they'll give it. Why not? Right? Do you know something that amazed me when I read it? Haridas Thakur, who chants 192 rounds a day, it takes 22 hours more or less, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please give me a taste for the holy name, Hare Krishna. So that kind of, you have to redefine what that taste is, but it's this strong connection, attachment, love for the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to give it to you. And all you have to do is ask and pray. And today's the day to get it. Are you ready? Now, I have a disclaimer. If you get that taste, it is going to totally destroy your material life. You won't even want to go home. You won't want to go to work. You won't want to go to school. You're just like, you'll be finished. So don't say I didn't warn you. That's the liability of getting a pure taste for the holy name. Kabhi habe bolo se din amar. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us. A very beautiful idea. We should hanker after that higher level of bhakti. So kabhi habe, this is Bengali. Kabhi habe bolo se din. When, oh when, will that dina, that day come? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. This is poetry. He didn't say it that way, I don't think. Some devotee wrote it. When, oh, when will that day be mine? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. When, oh, when will your mercy shine? Oh, when will that day be mine? This is the mood of a Vaishnava, right? Like I'm down here and I want to be up here. This is my desire. I want a taste, not for my sense gratification. That taste brings me closer to Krishna. When, oh, when will that day be mine? And then he says, when, this is so funny. I read this like 2 weeks after I became a devotee, I read this verse. When will I be running on the banks of the Ganges? Half mad of mind, chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga. And I read that and I go, probably for me in about 2 weeks I'll be there. That's what I, you know, when you're a new devotee, you think it's like easy. But I have something to tell you that's really interesting. In Jiva Dharma, two devotees were given the holy name. They went home and chanted 64 rounds a day. They came back to their guru. They had achieved bhava in 1 week. Did you know that? The name of my next seminar, 1 week to bhava. Are you ready? I don't know if everybody's ready. That could be too fast, right? They achieved bhava in 1 week. So, you know, that's amazing. And then sometime later, I heard this lecture by Bhanu Swami, and he said something very interesting that I never heard before, which I'd like to ask in more detail. But I'll tell you what he said. He said the stages of bhakti that we focus on, like in Madhurya Kadamini, it has all the stages and elaboration. He said previously, when people were chanting purely, they didn't really focus on these stages because they just went from 0 to 100 in 1 week or so. Just pure, you know. They're living this ideal lifestyle, born, you know, in Brahmin families, chanting 64 rounds with a mind that's not, you know, looking at their phone every 3 minutes. And they're chanting purely, and just like 1 week to bhava. Bhava in the week. Yeah, he said, so he said, as things progressed in Kali Yuga, the process became slower. So we started, you know, getting caught in one of these stages that were just like a stairway that we just walk up in a week. And so, you know, some of us are like, yeah, I've been on this stage for like 15 years. But that's due to offenses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, I have to tell you a story. There were some devotees who started their own community, but this community only followed two regulative principles. I'll give you a hint which two they were not, and which two they were. the everyone who joined ISKCON at this time, this was during Prabhupada's time, was a hippie. So you could guess which two principles they were not following, right? If you know anything about hippies, right? So they were not following those two principles. But they were chanting. I don't know if they were chanting 16 rounds, but they were chanting. So the GBC had spoken to these devotees. And they said, you know, Prabhupada said, four, not two. And they said, yeah, but at least we're chanting. Okay. So the GBC went to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, they're only following two principles, but at least they're chanting. Then Prabhupada said, maybe in 300 lifetimes that chanting will bear some fruit. And he explained why. He said, because they're disobeying the order of the Guru. Therefore, it's nam aparad. Hare Krishna. Now, to corroborate this, Bhaktivinoda made a statement. If you commit nam aparad, you can chant 100 rounds a day and go nowhere fast. No, he didn't say it that way, but you'll go nowhere, even with 100 rounds. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a whole book about nam aparad, Hari Nam Chintamani, how to avoid nam aparad. It's so important because if we're committing nam aparad, then we're chanting, 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 and it's like we're just chained to the wall. We're not going anywhere, right? Am I depressing all of you now? Like, oh my God, I'm so offensive. I'm, you know, 100 lifetimes, 300 lifetimes. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually trying to make you all feel really guilty right now so that you correct yourself. So one devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He said, I have this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this one, 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 this one. Like a whole, like every problem you could imagine, he had it. I can't get up. I don't want to do service. I don't like this devotee. I don't like to chant. I fall asleep when I read. I don't want to go out and preach. I don't care if they all go to hell. Like that, just the whole, you know, been there, done that. Never felt like that. Let him go to hell. I'm tired of going out there. Prabhupada looks at the letter, right? Like a doctor. You know, you go to the doctor. I got the headache, the chest, the stomach, the ache here. You know, it's all like, hey, you got COVID. You know, it's like obvious, you know. So Prabhupada's looking at it. He goes, yeah, nam aparad. You've got nam aparad. Because, how could you have those symptoms if you were chanting Shudhanam, or at least Nam Abbas? You wouldn't. But these are the symptoms of Nam Aparad. Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Yeah, these are the symptoms of Nam Aparad. Isn't that interesting? Prabhupada immediately did his diagnosis. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants all of us to chant the holy name without offense. That's why he wrote all those books. Two chapters in Jiva Dharma on Nam Tattva. In many books, he goes over the 10 offenses again and again, slightly different ways, and gives really deep insight into understanding what is aparad, what is not aparad, how to avoid aparad. Because when we avoid aparad, then we can fulfill his desire to taste the name, because Krishna will give you a taste, and that taste will completely destroy your material life. Because once you taste the holy name, you'll go crazy, because there's nothing that compares. Nothing in this world compares. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said something beautiful, so beautiful. You may have heard this, but it's so beautiful. He said, the women, the wealth, and the wine of this world no love on thee bestow. You know that song? Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. the dazzly, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. You know that song? That's a line from that song. That is so profound. Think about it. What is he saying? We're looking for love in sense gratification. And you cannot find love in sense gratification. Love does not exist in sense gratification. And if you don't find love, you'll never be happy. The women, the wealth and wine of this world, no love on thee bestow. Wow. Beautiful, isn't it? It's such a, that's such a great preaching point, isn't it? You're looking for love in things that inherently do not give love, are not made of love. It's matter, matter. Matter is not made of love. So now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I said, he's chanting the holy name. He's telling us, I'm drowning in an ocean of bliss while I'm chanting. And his desire is that all of us drowned in an ocean of bliss also. That's his desire. That's why he wrote all those books. And so, if we really want to honor Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then we have to honor his request. Please taste the nectar of the name at least once. Today, please taste it. And I have good news for you. Can I give you some good news? This is a bit of advertising, but it wasn't intended that way, but it's going to work. So tonight, from 6 to 9, we're doing a concert. But it's not a concert. It's actually a kirtan workshop. And it's actually designed so that everyone in the audience has some kind of transformation in the depth of their chanting and has, hopefully, my desire and experience with the holy name that hopefully is unique and special. And it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, so how can we lose? He will help us fulfill this desire. So that's my intention. It's not, you know, concert, you know, no. We want to help all of you go more deeply. And what did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Chant the holy name and fulfill. What did he say? Fulfill the soul. Does anyone remember? Chant the holy name just once and fulfill the heart. In other words, when we get a taste for the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be happy. That's what he came for, to give us the taste. Right? Otherwise, you know, there's a story. It's really interesting. And it's funny also, because this story will definitely put the VIHE and the MIHE out of business. You're going to burn your Bhakti Shastri degree, and it's like, it's all over. No more studying. Just go out and chant all day. Yeah. Okay, that was a joke, but there's some truth to it. So, you want to hear the story? The story that you're all going to burn your Bhakti Shastri degrees after and just chant. So, Srila Prabhupada was interesting sometimes. Like when he wanted to make a point, sometimes he'd ask a question and he'd know you're going to give the wrong answer. You're going to give the right answer, but in the context that he's asking it, it's going to be the wrong answer. Sometimes you give an answer, and Prabhupada, you know, last week said that was the answer, and this week it's not the answer, because he's making another point. So he said to one of our God brothers, he said, why do you read my books? And he gave the proper answer. To learn the philosophy, you need to learn the philosophy to become advanced and detached. And if you don't learn the philosophy, you just be, you know, engaged in material activity. Like, the perfect answer, right? And Prabhupada said, no. The reason we read my books is to come to the stage of pure chanting. And when you come to the stage of pure chanting, you don't need the books anymore, because the books were meant to get you there. Because when you get to the stage of pure chanting, you get prema. And after you get prema, see you later, back to Godhead, right? And everything's revealed in your heart, and you know everything. Yeah. So I'm not saying to not read the books. But you understand the principle, right? Prabhupada is writing his books to get us to this point of Shuddhanam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing his books to get us to the point of Shuddhanam, to get us to the point of pure chanting. And today's such a fantastic day to do that. Isn't it? To pray for the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because that's what he wants. And if Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants it and he's ready to give it, it's pretty easy to get it. You just have to go up and say, okay, I'll take it. And try to chant the holy name without committing offenses. Now, I think there's confusion in ISKCON about what is offensive and what isn't. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma says you begin from the Namabhas stage. You don't begin from the Aparad stage. You begin from Namabhas. You actually have to do something. You got to like do it to make an Aparad. If you just, you know, Hare Krishna, get a haircut, get a job. That's Namabhas. And so you're given the name. You start chanting. You don't know what the offenses are. Just chanting. So you actually have to commit an offense. Then it becomes an offense. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he gave the definition of offensive chanting. And this is really important. He said, offensive chanting means chanting the holy name without making the effort to avoid the offenses. That's it. And it doesn't mean you're not committing an offense. It means you can be committing an offense with an effort not to commit an offense, and it's not an offense. That's good news. Did that cure your depression from everything else I just said that made you feel like hopeless and useless and ready to kill yourself? And this is confirmed by Prabhupada when Giriraj Swami asked Prabhupada, I'm chanting and my mind is wandering. Is that an offense? And Prabhupada asked one question. He said, are you trying to hear? And he said, yes, Prabhupada, I'm trying to hear, but sometimes my mind wanders. And Prabhupada said, even though your mind wanders, if you're trying to hear, it's not an offense. So that effort to avoid the offense gets you at least into Namabhas. And when you just chant without effort and just, as the Beatles said, float downstream with your japa, then that's an offense. You're not trying anymore. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has delineated what the offenses are. He said, the source of all the other nine offenses is inattention. And specifically, it's interesting. He said, one aspect of inattention is laziness. Can you relate? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And its cousin, apathy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I don't want to do this, right? And its big brother, inattention, which naturally is, you know, a partner in crime with laziness and apathy, right? Because if you're lazy and apathetic, what are you focusing on? So he said that is the foundation for committing all the other offenses. And it makes sense, right? Because if you're lazy, inattentive, and apathetic, you're definitely not making any effort to avoid the offense, right? So then you're going to commit all the other offenses sooner or later, right? Have you ever wondered, have you ever had this thought process, like, I know it's an offense to criticize devotees, the holy name, but I just like to do it. And somehow or other, I can't stop. When there's an opportunity, I just jump on it. Have you ever thought, like, why do I do that? It's an offense to the holy name, and I need to chant purely, and still I criticize sometimes. Do you ever criticize? They don't do that in England, right? This is only in America because we're Americans. Yeah, we just criticize everybody. Yeah, so we do it, and it's an offense to the holy name. Like, why? Why do we do that? Maybe, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, maybe we're committing this offense of inattention, apathy, distraction, laziness, which is causing other offenses. It's possible. Think about it. So at least today, I should have given this lecture at 5 a.m. I know it's a little late. But we still have the day left. You can chant more japa, right? And now Davina's on the spot because she's going to have to chant the rest of her life based on this lecture. And she's going to make a vow right now that she's going to do it. And you're all going to hear the vow. So, and another thing. when the announcement was that you're very good in drama, my request is don't make your life a drama. We have a tendency to do that, right? Yeah. So I'll say one more thing. For my association with Srila Prabhupada, and I think I could speak on behalf of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada did not like when we made excuses. You ever made an excuse like, well, you know, I'm just a lazy person. Well, you know, I'm really Vata Prabhu and I just can't concentrate. I'm really whatever, Kapha, I can't get up in the morning and I'm really this. You ever made that excuse? I have a story for you. One devotee was really affected by the mode of ignorance, and they told Prabhupada, he said, he's trying, but he's having a really hard time because he's really affected by the mode of ignorance. And immediately Prabhupada said, why are you giving into the mode of ignorance? In other words, like, why are you giving power to your excuse? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why can't you chant good rounds? Well, you know, I'm just a lazy person, you know. Like, and Prabhupada, his response would be, so what are you going to do about it? And what do we do about it? We just keep chanting the mantra. Well, you know, just a lazy person, you know. And that becomes your mantra for life, you know. And then, so you get that mantra, but you don't get Shuddhanam. So Prabhupada's point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point is like, here, I'm giving you everything. Here's how to do it. Here's all these books. I mean, it's everywhere in his books. These are the offenses, how to avoid them. He doesn't want us to say, yeah, I know. I know what he says, but, you know, it's like, Prabhu, you have no idea how what I was like before I was a devotee. If you knew what I was like, then you'd know why I'm a total mess now. That's not what they want to hear. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I want to hear you come to me and say, today I got a taste. Today was the day, Shuddhanam. Now I am convinced this holy name is sweeter than anything. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says what? In the three worlds, there's nothing but the holy name. What does that mean? What do you mean, nothing but the holy name? There's so many things. There's all of you, there's a temple, all the cars in the parking lot, unlimited trees, blades of grass, 8 billion people. There's a lot of other things in the holy name. What does he mean? He said, there's nothing in this world that can compare to the taste of the holy name, and he wants to give it to you. Just as Prabhupada said, I want to show you Krishna. I want you to see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants us to taste the holy name. Yes? Today is the day, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that maybe today, maybe tonight, please come tonight. I'll try to give you a taste. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gopremanande Hari Hari Bol.
Grace Mahaprabhu ki.
Oh, I have to make an announcement. Please mention Bhadra Purnima and distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of class Bhagavatam class. Devotees are encouraged to tell at least 5 people they know about Srimad Bhagavatam. Tell them or give them or both? Both? All right. Tell them about Bhagavatam and then distribute a Bhagavatam. Well, Prabhupada asked, it was another one of these questions Prabhupada asked, you know, like instead of just saying, he asked a question, gets the wrong answer, corrects you, and gives you the right answer. It's a good way of learning, isn't it? Instead of just telling you, I ask you, you give me the wrong answer, I tell you the right answer because it helps you. Oh, I gave the wrong answer. Why are we distributing books? Save the conditioned souls, we need it to purify ourselves, you know, like the whole thing, right? No. We are distributing books because we want to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur smile. It is for his pleasure. This is why we're doing it. Of course, there's so many reasons we're doing it, but Prabhupada wanted to make this point that ultimately we're doing it to see our spiritual master smile to make him happy. So whenever you get mental about book distribution, just think, this will make Prabhupada so happy. You just give someone a book, tell someone about his books, tell someone about Krishna, give them a mantra card, give them some sweet, anything you can do to give Krishna consciousness. It'll make Prabhupada smile. And if you can make Prabhupada smile, that's it. What more do you need? There's nothing more than that, right? So that was Prabhupada's mood. If we can make Srila Bhaktisiddhanta smile, we're successful. And you know, you ever hear these lectures where Prabhupada's thanking his devotees for helping him? You know that? I think one of those lectures has gone viral. It was on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day, I think in December of 1969 in Los Angeles. And he was describing how I had no idea that I would come to America. I had no idea you would come here. This is all the grace of my guru. And then he breaks down and he says, and I have to thank, he says, I have to thank you more. In other words, you're doing it, not me. You're the, he's thanking his disciples, said, I'm not doing it. You're doing it. You're helping me fulfill the order of my guru. And that order was so important to Prabhupada. And his disciples were helping him fulfill that order that he choked up in appreciation that his disciples could help him fulfill that order because it was so important to him. So that's why he said, we just want to see him smile. Smile, that's it. If I can make my guru smile, wow. What more could I ask for? So you give someone a book, tell someone about a book, tell someone about the Maha Mantra. Prabhupada is smiling. For sure. And you can feel it, isn't it? I have to tell one story. Do I have time for one story? Well, we're not eating breakfast. So it's like, no problem. I love those fast days. You know, you can just go on forever. So, it's when is it? It must be like November 1971. The winter in Canada. Colder than the UK. Well, maybe not colder than Scotland. It's cold as Moscow. If you go up in northern Canada, it's as cold as Moscow in the winter. So, we get this message from Prabhupada. If you, any disciple, if they will go anywhere and everywhere and preach Krishna consciousness, not considering how they will live and how they, where they will live and what they will eat, I will take the dust from their feet and put it on my head. Well, we heard that, we've like fainted. And when we woke up, we got in the van, filled the van with books, drove off into the night in the middle of the winter with no money and just enough petrol to get to the next town where no one has ever been. And we arrived in that town at 8 o'clock at night in the middle of the winter and there was nobody on the street. And no one had ever distributed Krishna books until we discovered how to do it, like big books. No one, we discovered how to do it like a week before. And so now it was like filled with big books, the Mission Impossible. No one knew how to distribute big books. We thought this was impossible. You can't do it. Get on the street, there's nobody, one drunk on the street. 8 o'clock at night, it's like, you know, 20 below zero, whatever. And this devotee who was the lead book distributor, who ran with this idea of big books, he goes up to this drunk and we're thinking, this guy, this devotee was eccentric. And we thought, you're really eccentric. Try to distribute a book to this drunk, you know. And like 3 minutes later, the drunk gives him $8, takes the book. You know? And so it was such a rare thing to distribute the book. The first Krishna book I distributed, I got so excited, I couldn't find my way back to the van. Like it was like, Prabhupada is so pleased. This is like, you know. So we felt it. We felt, you know, with every book, we felt like, I mean, this was like distributing a Krishna book in 1971, it's like giving someone a set of CCs and Bhagavatams, you know, they're walking away like this, you know, like how you feel, just some guy on the street, you know, he's balancing these books and you're taking photos, like, ah! So it was like that, you know. And then, this was amazing, this letter, we were like like intoxicated. We just felt intoxicated. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter and he said, book distribution is real intoxication. It's like, how did Prabhupada know that? Because that's how we felt. So much reciprocation. So that's the idea of book distribution. You know, whether you're good at it or not, it's just that we want to see Prabhupada smile. And you just go out there, he's smiling. Even if you don't even distribute a book, he's smiling. Right? Because you're showing the book and people are benefiting. Hare Krishna. Okay. Get out there. Oh, and I have to tell you something else. Is that okay? One more thing, yeah. So I was in Slovenia, and they were telling me about ISKCON Slovenia in 1992. Because they have this beautiful building they bought in 19... It was actually two buildings. Then the president at that time was there, and he's saying, we were making so many devotees, like every year we had to have a bigger house. And then you know, we had 60 brahmacharis, and this, you know, and we all went out and we collected, and we, you know, we bought this building for like whatever, hundreds of thousands of whatever their money is. In those days, quite expensive, and we didn't have the money, but we had the brahmacharis, and we went out and we did it, and we bought it, you know. And he was, and I was having a realization at that point. At that moment, I was having a realization. He goes, yeah, that's it. Enthusiasm. That's why we did it. We were so enthusiastic, wasn't it? In those days, we were just like, conquer the world. The universe is ours, you know. Enthusiasm. And everybody says, well, Prabhu, you know, that was like the 80s, the 70s, the early 90s. You think we can do it today? Because, you know, people are different and, you know. And after I spoke to him, I was like, yeah, we can. If you're as enthusiastic as we were, not as crazy as we were, not as immature as we were, not as stupid as we were, but as enthusiastic as we were, yeah, it'll happen again because people are addicted to enthusiasm, right? Just like, so, last story. You know, you can have many last stories because the spiritual world's like unlimited. So, this devotee who was doing the books, he was completely intoxicated because we had never done Krishna books. And like every day he's going out distributing Krishna books. Every day probably we would sell a couple. That was like a lot. So he was so intoxicated, we were getting ready, we're putting our sleeping bags down, we're ready to read Krishna book. And he's like, I got to go out and distribute another Krishna book. It's like 9 o'clock at night. Hello, who's there? And he'd say something like, I don't know, to get them to open the door. It's your friend from down the street, you know. And they open the door, you know. And he's like, you know, it's like your height, you know. Maybe not your height, but close to it. And he's like, he's very Jewish, New York Jewish. He's not from New York, but he's, you know, New York Jewish. Some of you, you know, like you ask a New Yorker, how you doing? They go, what's it to you? Like, kind of like that, you know. Get out of my way. Why are you asking? You know? Like that, you know, like total opposite of the British, you know, completely, couldn't be more opposite. So he's kind of like that, you know, with people. Then like a half hour later, he comes back and he said, I distributed a Krishna book. You know, like we thought he's crazy. It's 9 o'clock at night. He goes, I distributed a Krishna book. And we always like wonder, well, what did you tell them? He said, I told them I was in ecstasy. And they're atheists, and they took the book. So, you know, you can't replace enthusiasm. You know, people are different, you know, it's got to be sensitive. Okay, yeah, of course, I totally agree. But you can't replace, that's not a replacement for enthusiasm, all your strategy and like that. It's like, it was so obvious when I was talking to this devotee, that enthusiasm, that's it. Because people want to, you know, when there's enthusiasm, people join, right? Isn't it? I mean, if the original devotees that came to 26 Second Avenue were not enthusiastic, we wouldn't have a Hare Krishna movement because somebody had to adopt it, right? Hare Krishna. All right. Where's the initiate? Did she disappear? Oh, there she is. Okay. So, okay, it's the big day. Today's the day. Okay. Today's the day you signed your contract for going back to Godhead. And your agreement, you will make your agreement. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So we'd like Nilamani Mataji.
Oh, okay.
Please to say a few words. Okay. She's Davina's mentor.
Okay, yeah.
Please come over here.
Hare Krishna. Well, you can sit closer, huh? So we can see you. Hare Krishna.
Oh. Hare Bol.
Thank you so much, Mahatma, for this phenomenal class. I'm completely blissed out, and I think all the devotees are probably brimming with enthusiasm and
I hope so.
And happiness to taste, an eagerness to taste the nectar of the holy name today on Bhaktivinoda Thakura's appearance day after hearing from you. So thank you so much. Just something very brief on Davina. I've known her for over a decade, and in that time she's been very consistent and committed to preaching and sharing Krishna consciousness, especially through the arts. A few years ago, she was involved in a creative arts group who put on a phenomenal play about Srila Prabhupada. So phenomenal that the person who played Srila Prabhupada actually shaved his, it was her husband Milan, shaved his hair off in the intermission. Sorry, it's just one part that I cannot forget. We're like, can't have a second performance. I think, you may have, but maybe you had a wig on. It was absolutely phenomenal. And recently, she played Draupadi in the Mahabharat dice game drama. She also directed a mesmerizing Janmashtami play, which was called Immoral. And it was wonderful, really well received. She's also been a speaker for the Krishna Society at Brunel University. She's given Bhagavad Gita class here on a Sunday, which is quite a busy time to give class. And other services she's been involved in is Goshala service, transfer services at ISKCON London, and transcribing the videos and of yourself, of His Grace Mahatma Prabhu, and proofreading Mahatma Prabhu's books. But superseding all these wonderful offerings, Davina is a kind-hearted Vaishnavi who's dedicated to her sadhana and is looked up to by many. And I'm just so, so happy to see her taking this essential step in her spiritual life, formally being connected to the parampara and receiving initiation today from His Grace Mahatma Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Bol. And I have something else to say. If you can jump through all the hoops required to get initiated in the UK, you can get initiated anywhere in the universe. Because this is the most difficult place to get initiated. That for sure. But that's good. That's good, right?
Thank you, Prabhu. So on behalf of the initiation committee.
We've been meeting for 12 years, right, to decide on this, yeah.
So we have the policy, and of course it's our service to try and do the things by that policy. But I must say that of all the interviews we've had, we have so many of them, I don't remember candidates after a few weeks. But I still remember the winner's interview. She was so fluent. One of the shortest interviews we've had, because there was absolutely nothing to ask after she'd answered all the questions. And we could see how dedicated she was. Her knowledge was absolutely on the spot and total confidence. So well done. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Wow. You want to say something? No.
Maharaj,
you want to say
something? I did say to Maharaj, Maharaj said a few words before, so he was being a bit shy. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you so much. So it's a real... of course, Davina's brother is Nishinga Nam, and we lived for quite some years together in the Brahmachari Ashram, and through him got to know Davina, and she's been an amazing devotee over the years. You can see so many of her friends have come. She's like a leader of her generation, to really take a commitment like that and really be an inspiration, a role model for many other devotees. It's a real great example. And initiation is a wonderful opportunity, as Mahatma Prabhu was explaining, an opportunity to receive the name of Krishna and really take it as your life and soul. Rupa Goswami says, Ado Guru Padashraya, in the beginning there must be surrender to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master in that way opens up all the other angas of bhakti and all the opportunities for the wealth of devotional service. So we're so happy for you, and we pray for you, and the community here is here to support you in your journey after initiation. Because often we do say that initiation is just the beginning. And there's a lifetime of devotional service. And I'm sure you have many friends and mentors and the community here who will continue to support you. So thank you very much for your dedication. And thank you to all the devotees who have contributed to Davina's life and bringing her to this point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, on initiation day, you officially become a neophyte. It's not the summit. You're now officially entered the school. And you know, taking shelter of the spiritual master, as Maharaj said, is one of the main principles of bhakti. But we also have to understand the vision of the spiritual master. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked, how many disciples do you have? He said, I have 4 disciples. I was like, why did he say that? He had thousands. He said, my 4 disciples are my 2 arms and my 2 legs. He said, because they will do whatever I say. He said, but I am servant of my disciples. So only these are the only 4 that I will tell what to do and demand what to do and control and so forth. But I am servant. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Even the master is the servant, even of his disciple. He's obviously the servant of his guru, but he's also the servant of his disciple. So it's an agreement that the guru says, okay, I will follow Krishna consciousness. I will be an example. I will represent Prabhupada. I will help bring you closer to Prabhupada. And you will agree to follow. So we're both servants. It's not really there's a master. I mean, etiquette-wise, yes. But internally, we're all servants. And in the Nectar of Instruction, it says, well, you know, unless you're an Uttama Adhikar, you're not really, you know, you're not really a real guru, you know, like some people say, not the real thing, you know. But we never proposed to be the real thing. We're just asked to do this by Prabhupada. So what he says, we do. And our goal is just to help you get closer to Prabhupada. And then everything's good. Right? Yes? Okay. Why don't you pay obeisances to Prabhupada and then you can just with your left side towards Prabhupada. Right where you are is fine. And then you can come here and pay obeisances and then you can tell us what you're going to do. Hare Krishna. Wow. Jai Prabhupada. Thank you. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh yeah. We had an initiation in Poland of a man, and I said to all the devotees, and I can't say this to you because she's a woman, but I said to all the devotees in the temple, he's making a vow in front of all of you. So if you ever find he's not following that vow, go up to him and beat him up. So I can't say that. But you get the idea of, you know, you find, you know, like, they're watching, you know, so. Any problem, you know, you're like, yeah, okay. So, how many rounds are you going to chant?
Promise to chant minimum 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day.
Yeah. How many offenses are you going to make when you chant?
I'll try my best to make none.
Good. And the four principles?
No meat eating, fish or eggs, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Yeah. So, she has a divine name, right? So, I didn't even have to think about her name. But we're not giving her that name that I thought of, because that came in second place. But I actually, you know, something with Divi, right? It's natural. You're all thinking, yeah, he's going to call her Divi something, right? Right? Of course. Divi Shakti or Divi Sampad or Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Diving Shakti. Yeah. But for her, there's a better name. Because she's attached to this devotee, and this devotee exhibits so many good qualities, and this devotee exhibits intense compassion for the suffering of others, and she will suffer herself even to prevent the suffering of others. And this devotee exhibits for us complete dependence on Krishna and teaches us that when you totally depend on Krishna, Krishna will come and save you. You know this devotee? Draupadi. Your name is Draupadi Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now I believe if you like, there's going to be a fire yajna in the Haveli. Is that correct?
Yes.
Pushpanjali
before the fire.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Okay.
So as Maharaj announced earlier, yes, we'll have Pushpanjali now. And after the Pushpanjali, everybody is requested to please proceed to the Haveli for the yajna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.